Hey, it's a day in June, and you're listening to the Electric Hydra Internet Radio Show. I'm your host, Brad Nicholson. I might be in a sling, but my mouth is not covered by a device that would impede its movement. I'm joined this week by a cast of regular co-hosts, of course, Structured Reviews editor, freelancer for hire, Jim Sterling.
What up?
Nice. Bring the pain and the noise. Topher Cantler, RockMetalSoda.com animator, founder, president, chief, operating officer. What's up?
Are you done?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Hi.
Also, of course, I'm joined for the first time in 2 weeks by Joseph the Raging Cajun LeRay.
What's up? Can we have Cranky Cast today? You were just way too excited. You were killing me.
Hey.
Oh, God.
Can we have Sleepy Cast? That intro reminded me of a great idea I had this afternoon, right? Restaurant selling, you know, classic New Orleans food. They've got, like, TV monitors, like they've got an Applebee's or whatever. Instead of showing football, they're showing films like The Sorcerer's Apprentice and Face Off and National Treasure. Call it Nicholas Cajuns.
I like it.
Fan-fucking-tastic. It would be brilliant.
That is pretty good.
I saw a movie with him, and it was called Kick-Ass. He played Batman, basically, and then got burned to death.
Was that movie any good?
No.
No?
Okay. It started out, like, the first 20 minutes were really promising. It was quirky in the right way and genuinely funny, and then it just de-evolved into, like, this crazy, just stupid... I mean, it wasn't even stupid, really. Like, it quit being stupid and got serious. And I was like, really? This movie's called Kick-Ass.
Oh, man. speaking of movie reviews, I ate dinner last night with my girlfriend and her grandparents. And her grandfather's uncle, or her grandfather's brother, which would make him her great-uncle. But anyway, and so they're sitting there, and they're talking about Western movies. And they're talking about how they would like to see True Grit. And one of them brings up the fact that they had watched that Jonah Hex Western movie, this like action movie together, and so the brother is complaining that it was too unrealistic for him to enjoy it, which I think is a pretty fair criticism. Jonah Hex is pretty retarded, but and so like his example of the movie's unrealistic nature was that you could shoot a guy 500 times and he wouldn't die, and his brother looks at him and he says, "Yeah, but the guy's bionic." As if that made it more realistic, you know what I mean? Like, when you have real bionic people, you can shoot them a million times. So anyway, that's my short movie review section, since that's what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah, this new Electric Hydra thing where we review movies.
That said, though, I fucking hate people who, and I've met people like this, who will watch something like Tom and Jerry and say, "Well, that wouldn't happen."
Yeah,
it's a fucking cartoon, you dick.
Well, a cat
wouldn't survive an anvil on my head. No, a cartoon cat fucking would.
I kept doing that to myself while watching Kick-Ass, actually, and every time I would be like, "Well, that wouldn't really happen," I would say, "Oh yeah, this is Kick-Ass." You know what I mean? Like that movie has a weird duality where at first it plays itself like just so simple and just stupid, and then all of a sudden there's like repercussions, you know. I mean, this kid gets beat up so badly, like, they have to put so many plates in his body that it rivals Wolverine, and he's fine. He's, like, joking around with his friends the next day, and then at the end of the movie, people are burning to death and shooting each other. You know? It's just weird.
So you liked it then? Like, was that...
No!
Was that positive? No?
No, no. Well, I mean, Nicolas Cage on fire was always... That was definitely worth it, I guess. So, A+ from Brad Nicholson.
It's the first time anyone's ever been able to say that Nicolas Cage has been on fire in his entire career.
No, he was in Ghost Rider. He was on fire all the time.
That was a joke about his acting ability.
Yeah.
I was making a joke about Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Which was a bad movie. How can you fuck up Ghost Rider? It's about a dude who looks like a skeleton, he's on fire, and he hits people with a fucking chain. How do you mess that up? How?
That actually seems really easy to fuck up. I mean, when you put it out there like that... I mean,
right, this is how you fuck up Ghost Rider. First of all, you say, "Get Nicolas Cage's agent on the phone." Second of all, you make it.
Yeah, that's too bad. That was way too bad. You know, I gotta admit, I've never read a Ghost Rider comic. I just looked at the covers and was like, you know, that guy looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that looks all right. That's fine.
Yeah, I'd hang out with him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to drink with him. You imagine what he's like when he gets drunk? Just saying. Hey, you know what? Video games are a thing that people want us to talk about this weekend. I did some fun. I opened up a Google Doc to the internet, basically, and linked to it on our Twitters and our Facebooks, / Electric Hydra. And people edited in the things they wanted us to talk about specifically under the topics that we had listed. This week, we are going to talk about Trenched. I originally planned to do that. I played with Anthony and Aaron quite a bit over the weekend, and I played by myself, of course. New Double Fine.
So why aren't we going to talk about it then?
You know, I like to have backup.
Since you're the only one?
Right.
Well, give me like a quick rundown, because like it's about tower defense and robots, right? Neither of which really interest me, but the buzz around this game is that it's really, really good. So I need something besides like the genre and the theme to get me excited about it, because tower defense robots doesn't do it.
I think it's the most polished Double Fine game easily. Like, and it is, and I know that's a weird caveat. I mean, it's a polished game through and through, and it's spectacularly well done for a Double Fine game. You know how those guys usually are. So, yeah, it's a mech assault / tower defense, basically, right? But tower defense in the way that you can put down turrets and things like that, except you're an active participant in the battles, just as a mech who can rove around, mech assault style, right?
So it's got like an action like / shootery element to it?
Yeah, you know, it's like Brutal Legend, kinda, except you're not managing troops, you're just putting down turrets now. You play Brutal Legend?
No, of course not.
It's built in the same engine, so you can kinda see where they took the idea. And of course, it's laced with your traditional Double Fine humor. Patrick Moyland asked us, actually, in the doc that I was talking about earlier, how does the humor compare to other Double Fine games? I think it's a little bit more toned down. The game takes itself fairly seriously, but the concepts are stupid, though. You know what I'm trying to express here? I'm sure there's a better word for it. The concepts are stupid, but the game takes them seriously.
The delivery is deadpan.
Right, yeah, there you go. So, I mean, it's quirky and fun in that way, and it's entertaining. I didn't catch myself belting with laughter at any point, but, you know, the creativity is certainly there as well. It's kind of cool, too, because it has kind of a clever amount of depth to it as well. Like, you can upgrade turrets and things like that, but outside of battle, you can also upgrade your mech, buy new weapons, and equip your mech in different ways to compete in different ways and levels, so you can kind of do your own thing. And there's a great co-op component as well. You can play with up to four people in a single room. So
your mom has a great co-op component.
Oh, you hurt my feelings. You hurt my feelings.
Dude, I had to come back with a bang. I had to make my reentry.
Your mom had to come back with a bang.
Oh! Ah!
I had to come up with a re-entry to your mum.
Oh, man.
Just,
I
what
see.
Just to get what through.
I know what I've done. Your mum.
That should be our doc. That should all... The entire thing should
your
just
mom's
be...
got a doc.
Yeah. Yeah, she your does.
Mom's a doc.
Mm. Let me rip through these questions real quick.
Let me rip through your mom.
It's a song that never ends. I'm gonna pound this vagina here.
Well played, sir.
Herman asks, is the saluting technology a great or the greatest addition to gaming this generation? Now, whenever you exit a level, you enter into basically the equivalent of a lobby.
Enter into your mom.
And the only thing you can do other than upgrade your mech and look at it in this part is salute. So you just push a button, you salute, and you can buy different hats like Team Fortress 2 stuff.
I salute when your mom pushes my button.
It's cool.
God.
Not
it's
being
so
able to.
Bad.
Hacker Alias Savage Hobbit points out that you can't remove emplacements / turrets, which, yeah, that is definitely a super bummer. Whenever you fuck up and put down the wrong kind of turret, you know, just it's no good. And we got a guy that asked us, why isn't this out in Europe yet? And somebody else in the doc, which is why this is so brilliant, says supposedly this has something to do with the salutes, what I just mentioned, the Nazi connotations or some bullshit like that. You know, in Germany, you know, they're pretty sensitive to that shit. I wonder why. And final question by hacker alias Lolshin. Would you say this is a must-buy for people who are tired of the constant barrage of FPS titles but still wholly enjoy great multiplayer experiences? I don't know. It's not... It's a 15-level game, and the persistent upgrade system, things like that, you'll tap that out pretty quick. So, I mean, it's not a replacement.
Tap your mom out.
It's not a replacement, certainly.
Oh, look at him just power through it. Professional host, Brad Nicholson.
I got to do it. I got to do it just so we get past this topic and talk about something fun.
Such like your mom.
I'm gonna edit our topic, so my mom is topic A. We'll get to her, don't worry.
Oh, I'll get to her.
But I don't think it competes with a traditional retail title. I mean, you're going to get about 6 hours out of this game total, and
get about 6 hours out of your mom.
Value proposition wise, I would say that's definitely worth it.
Brad, I fucked your mom in the ass.
I want to be Jim Sterling's neighbor. Right
or
there.
Or wife.
All right, let's do some mom jokes.
No, man, those are boring. We don't. Those,
nobody
those
wants to hear that shit.
No, we don't.
Brad, that's really fucking crass, mate.
Oh, my. You know, last week was so, like, sober, serious. I love how we went instantly to your mom.
I also love how we've got such a huge list of topics and we really need to rush. So what do we do? Like, stall worse than ever.
That's what I do to Joseph in our Game of Thrones podcast. We have, like, 600 pages of books and an hour of television to cover, and I sit there and talk about throwing cum on walls and things like that. Joseph loves me, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Should we talk about fear? Right,
we could talk about fear.
Yeah, let's...
We both played the game through together.
Yeah.
We did the co-op together. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
While it lasted all 4 hours of it.
Yeah, that was kind of the toughie. I did find out, though, in single player, I was taking about a half hour to 40 minutes per level. But, I mean, yeah, it's a short game.
People were trying to justify it that way by saying, oh, if you play it single player and if you play through it twice as the two characters,
it's
so much more gameplay. It's like, but once you possess someone as Fatal, it's like, you don't, the game is not so different that it's worth playing through twice. And if you play through it single player, you get half of the experience drawn out twice as long.
Right.
The game was designed as a co-op thing. Don't tell me your game is co-op and then have people come up to me later and say, oh, you should have played it single player. It's a fucking co-op game. It's like there's people that talk about like taking the first Assassin's Creed and going into the options and disabling things and fucking with it. And then, oh, then it's a good game. I said, well, I'd make it that to begin with. I'm going to review the experience I'm given and play it the way I'm told to fucking play it.
Yeah.
So the game is 4 hours long.
But is it a good 4 hours? I mean, is it a badass 4 hours?
I thought it was great. Except the last level.
The game's 4 hours long. The gameplay is fucking great. I'm not going to deny that. Fear 3 is the best Fear game in the series, and I really like the Fear series. Best game in the series, bar none. Also the worst, because the game is well known for... Well, the series has always had like, great narrative campaigns, as far as I'm concerned. The gameplay's always been kind of hit and miss, but the narrative has always been solid. In this one, the narrative is pretty damn interesting, and the gameplay is fucking stellar. Like, as far as I'm concerned, it rivals Call of Duty and Killzone and all these top-tier ones. They really put some effort into it this time. But then they compromised it for a multiplayer section that just... The netcode's fucked. You can't get into games.
Yeah, it's broken. I mean, it's just shredded.
Shattered. You can't join games. The quick match, if you select quick match, there's no way to back out of it, and it loads forever. The only way to escape that loading screen is to turn the 360 off and turn it back on again, or quit to the dashboard. The thing is fucking broken. And yet, it is the best Fear game I've ever played, and simultaneously the worst, and I'm fucking miserable about it. I am really upset about it. So like you said, Joseph, yes. the 4 hours were really fun. And that's why it got, I gave it a 6 out of 10, and it's why I didn't give it like a 2 or a 3, because it is fantastic. And the game, the actual gameplay is a 9. And I don't usually talk about the score when I'm reviewing, but I had to. I was like, this is a 9 out of 10 game. Easily a 9 out of 10 game.
Yeah.
Because they compromised the single player for a broken multiplayer matchmaking thing with just shattered netcode, and they reduced the campaign to 4 hours to fit that in. Fuck them. I cannot give it the score it deserves or the credit it really does. It earned the great praise that I want to give it, but I can't give it to it.
I had a couple interesting thoughts as we were playing that. I don't know if it's great level design or great AI design, but the AI just comes off as fantastic. The best AI in video games.
It's probably a mix of both. I mean, you've got to design levels that
are conducive to what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, they flank, they keep moving. It's great, too, because they want you to know their AI is great, so they actually cue you into the army's airwaves, so you can hear them the entire time while they're working together. Hey, he's over here. Let's flank.
Also, I think there's a bit of smoke and mirrors there. Very good smoke and mirrors, but I think that's part of what makes us think the AI is so great, because of the talking.
Yeah.
So they patch in people saying, like, you know, flank him, he's on our right, he's gone over there, like that kind of stuff. And the AI is definitely good, but I think they made it come off even better thanks to that talking. It's an excellent, I mean, I love it when developers do that, because AI is particularly difficult. And even though it's an illusion some of the time, a good illusion is just as good as the real thing, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, and there were definitely points I noticed where, you know, I'd push back and then have to run back, and they push forward and things like that. I mean, it's just stuff you do not see AI do, and coming off of Duke Nukem Forever, you know, felt especially fresh, which I know those games have, like, zero comparison to each other. It was just nice to see AI moving around and being, you know, smart.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was that moment when I remember shouting down the microphone, they pushed us back. Yeah. And you don't get that in any shooter that I've played this generation, at least as much as that, where I felt like I was being assaulted and pinned down by enemy fire. And yet it was playable. It wasn't in a frustrating way. It wasn't a, holy shit, these guys are going to push us to the wall and then we've got nowhere to run.
Yeah, and you know, some of the best moments in that game, there were only two of them, though, unfortunately, was when you had to fight a mech on foot. Scariest moments in the game by far is whenever we'd see a mech coming at us, you know, because then what do, right? Because that thing will fucking shred your ass if you're not careful.
Did you get the chance to get inside the mech again?
Yeah.
In Fear 3? Because those are my least favorite parts of Fear 2.
Yeah, I mean,
they are not, the mech parts aren't so bad, actually. I think the biggest problem with Fear 2 is the mech was made out of fucking paper.
Yeah.
And I hate it when games do that, when they give you like a turret, but with no cover, like not the same cover that the enemies have, so using a turret basically turns you into a big target, or they put you in a mech, but the mech's weak as shit. I fucking hate that. If a game wants to give me an awesome toy, just let me be awesome in it for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I think they actually did a good, because there's two types of mech in Fear 3. There's a big heavy bastard, and then there are these smaller like power armor suits, and you get to play with both of them during the course of the game. And they're pretty fun to do. A lot more fun than they were in Fear 2, for sure.
I would argue, though, that the scenes around that, or at least the level design around the mechs, though, is pretty poor. Like, the mechs do feel, like, awesome and huge and tough, and, man, they could take a couple hits, but I just never really felt like it was really a traditional mech system, or mech-like segment that we were in, you know? We weren't destroying things that we couldn't have if we were on foot, per se. I feel like they could have done a little bit more with that, and they should have, considering, you know, these are the dudes who made Mech Assault. I mean, essentially, that mech is a Ragnarok from Mech Assault. I mean, it's fucking cool. And I wanted to actually transition to a larger point about that, is that I feel like Fear 3 is definitely the beginning of the Fear series turning from, like, scares to thrills. Like, specifically, it's becoming more and more of a modern military shooter with a oozy, glistening game world, as opposed to a, you know, just a horror game with first-person shooter elements in it.
But, I mean, in a world that's already chock-full of military shooters, I mean, do we really need another one? And do we really need another one that's called Fear with a 3 in it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how well does it... I mean...
I think, again, it goes back to that illusion I was talking about, where even though they took a lot from Call of Duty and Killzone and Medal of Honor and all these military shooters, they still kept this oppressive fear atmosphere to it. So it doesn't quite... like, you can easily... intellectually, you can tell that you're playing a game with a lot more of a military shooter pacing to it. And there is one particular level in the back streets of Fairport that feels like the scene in Modern Warfare 2 when the Russians invade Washington. You're fighting in all these back houses and backyards. But at the same time, you keep going into the houses and then see what this cult of Alma have been doing in the houses, and just blood all up the walls and candles.
Nothing good.
Yeah, and crazy fucking cultists. And so it even though at its bare bones, if you took all the aesthetics away, you've got a military shooter. Once you throw in the atmosphere and the bloodstained houses and just the really freaky shit, you don't notice it. And I think, again, it was a lot of it was smoke and mirrors, but they did a fantastic job in dressing that stuff up.
Yeah, but I would almost say, too, like, Monolith did such a good job contorting industrial design to fit in this world. You know, like, if you remember the school section in Fear 2 Project Origin, that was an amazing, amazing level or series of levels. And that you don't quite get that with Fear 3. Like, I feel like parts of the retail place that you're in, like the shopping mall, like the Best Buy part in particular, when you're walking through the TVs and stuff, I feel like right then they kind of hit that tone and that cadence of the Fear series, but then they let it go in like a zombie conflict. They're just like, fuck it, here's an oval arena, go fight. You know, like, I feel like they're there, but then they kind of pull away, and I think that's just Day One Studios, but...
I think co-op had a big part to do with that as well.
Right.
Like, co-op is never scarier. I mean, scary in a video game is being on your own against a whole bunch of monsters. Like, that's pretty scary. Once you throw in another guy, it's hard to concentrate on atmosphere because you're constantly thinking about someone else and talking to someone else. It's harder to concentrate on story for the same reasons. You're always worrying about what the other guy is thinking and whether you watching this cutscene is making him bored and all this kind of stuff. So I think co-op is often very... harmful to the atmosphere of a horror game. I'm not sure why horror in particular seems to be embracing co-op. We've had Resident Evil 5 doing it and that sort of thing, and now Fear 3. I don't think it fits horror very well.
You're right. I will add, though, like, even though, like, traditional horror doesn't work, seeing those fucking mechs, man, I think we both got pumped every time we saw one. I mean, I know I was, like, afraid of shit. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as I saw one of those bastards stomping, I was screaming at you and running behind walls, you know?
I mean, they traded in... Well, I mean, it's the difference between, like, Dawn of the Dead and 28 Days Later. It's like they...
Yeah.
They traded in the atmospheric creepy horror for, oh, shit, shit's happening horror. Yeah. Like, even those cultists, when a gang of them are running towards you with pipes and knives, it's scary on a more of a thrill-seeky type level, in the same way that, like, Left 4 Dead is scary.
Right.
It's not so much Silent Hill as Left 4 Dead.
Right, right. I guess one final point that I wanted to add is that I just completely blanked. So let me do some questions here. Pregnancy as a mechanic is what I wanted to talk about. When Alma has contractions, the game responds, and I think that's the funniest thing ever in a video game, period. Remember that? The sea is red, and, like, the sky is red, and, like, lightning comes down. Like,
yeah.
I thought that was great. Hacker Alias Bobby, Billy Bob Bitch Tits asks, how pregnant would you get Alma, guys? How pregnant?
She's fucking 15.
None pregnant.
None pregnant. As Fear 3 is, to some extent, somewhere between the two, do you feel competence in a modern FPS is less or more important than a unique idea or concept in the saturated market? Let me go ahead and try to read that again.
Yeah, I think we also kind of talked about that.
Yeah, I think we did, Thomas. I tell you what, send us a question in our next threads if we didn't quite cover that for you. Thank you for the question. Should developers withhold co-op or multiplayer until it's actually ready and working to ensure that it's actually functional? Dude asked that. He didn't credit himself. And I think the consensus is always yes on that.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to say no to that?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the... If you do not have anything new to offer, if you do not have it working and if it is not good, don't fucking do it. And certainly don't compromise a narrative campaign when the series previously has been known for really good narrative campaigns. I am disgusted at the length and the abrupt ending of Fear 3's campaign when I consider what it was cut short for that broken shit. And yeah, it's unacceptable. I wouldn't even go so far as to say withhold it until it's ready. If you can't get it ready, don't fucking do it and concentrate on what you can do.
Right, right. Well, Topher, what you been doing, baby?
Nothing really.
Listening to us talk.
Working on my new episode, listening to you guys talk, banging your mom, eating some popsicles.
How's your new episode going, bro?
Pretty good.
I saw you tweet a picture of the bedroom, right?
Yeah, it was the kids' room.
Are you redesigning, like, everything, or just or all the settings? Or?
Well, I've actually never shown the kids' room before. So.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
Which you would know if you had ever seen my show.
Topher. Topher.
Yep. So that'll be fun. It's been fun, because I get to draw, like, cute things, and, like, create little cute, like, fake shows to put posters on the wall and stuff.
Yeah.
Turn your phone off, man.
I'm sorry. I usually put my phone on silent, but I didn't this week. I have failed us, sir. Joseph, what you been doing, baby?
This week?
Yeah.
Or just like in general?
I mean, what you been playing, doing, whatever.
You know, actually, I knew this question was going to come up.
Boring.
Very little, actually. One series of things after another has led to me having very little time for video games since the last time I was on here. But the big news is, why I'm not playing video games, is that my girlfriend and I bought a house and we're moving in about 6 weeks. So,
whoa!
So yeah, I've been busy doing that. So very, very few video games.
When are you gonna get married, bro?
You know, everybody always asks us that.
Yeah, we just bought a house together. I wonder fucking why.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised, but not. There are no plans for that yet.
Sign that prenup.
Congratulations, though, man.
Thank you.
As someone who bought a house himself last year, it's awesome. You just have to make sure that you're the one fixing the air conditioner,
that's
which
right,
sucks.
Yeah.
But it's awesome to have your own place. Oh, yeah. Please,
so, we're looking forward to it. So, but as Jim could tell you, it's pretty time consuming, so most of my free time I spend very little of it playing video games, which is kind of, you know, like when you read people talk about video games, they're always complaining about how they wish they were shorter or more bite-sized, and up until now I've always been kind of skeptical of that, because like I've always had the time to play 60-hour RPGs, but now I'm starting to empathize with that kind of strain of video game fan a lot more. So so to answer your question, I've not been playing very many video games except some FIFA every once in a while.
How's FIFA?
Same as it always is.
Cool, dude.
Soccer, Same as it ever was.
Yeah, I just picked up Grand Theft Auto 4 again today. I'm promising myself, especially since I can't type right now, right? So I got all the time in the world to play an open world joint.
You missed it. I just sang like Days Go By and so on and so forth, but I was on mute.
Okay. Oh man!
All right, can you do it again?
No.
All right, just picked up Grand Theft Auto 4 again for the purpose of beating it. I will beat it this time. The game is.
Yeah, just picked your mom up again for the purpose of
beating her
for the sixth time.
I like how he puts an exact number on it. I feel like I can do it. I feel like this could be the time.
Yeah, I'd feel like that too.
This is where we're at, boys. Like the Kaido number 56. You'd hear it go downhill. You just blip, pew! It's the end of the slide whistle, you know?
We should get a slide whistle for the show. That would be a great sound effect. There's got to be like a sound.
The level of humor that we fucking stunk to, we deserve a slide whistle. It'd probably be funnier than I any of us.
We're in that camp now. I actually have that an MP3 of it on my computer. It comes with iLife or something, I think.
Well, there you go. We need to get that on here. Send me that MP3, bro.
It's on yours, dude.
It's on mine? I'm going to look for it. I'm going to put it in the podcast right here, hopefully, if I remember. Fingers crossed. I did want to say a couple things. You know, that cell phone component in the game, it's still fucking amazing. Like, it definitely holds up even now. Like, I feel like that's one of the few great mechanics that haven't been reproduced a billion times since a game's come out. I mean, I don't know if you guys specifically remember that. It's been forever. How long has it been since Grand Theft Auto came out?
You mean the Roman wanting to go bowling thing?
Right. But then you get like missions and stuff from it. You can also communicate with other people you meet in the world. I mean,
whatever,
just...
man. Pokemon Silver had a cell phone in it.
But you can also call like 911 and get the ambulance like right next to you and shit like that. I mean, like, you can just do a lot of stuff with this phone, and it's always
on
you.
Or you can use your phone to look at a map of Johto and Kanto, and you can call trainers that you've already beaten.
All right, when? Pokemon series.
Earthbound.
The only thing that makes that suck, though, is the only reason I'd want to phone up trainers that I've beaten is just to go, "Oh, you remember that time I beat you in your face?" And then hang up. And you can't do that.
No, you can't. You can't.
That would be good. You know, has Pokemon ever won an award for innovation, by the way? I think we just gave that series way too much fucking credit.
No, of course not.
Because, holy shit. But no, I think the cell phone's a great thing, and I'd like to see it in Grand Theft Auto 5 if that happens. Got a couple questions about that. Comparison to Saints Row 2, there is none, man. Saints Row is San Andreas on fire, basically, is what I think of it as. How hard do you want Saints Row 3 after seeing the epicness that was that footage? Also, anticipation of 3 GTA 5. In relation to the above comparison of 2 GTA 4, that's by hacker alias Lulshin. I got lost in your acronyms, to be honest. But do you guys see the Saints Row 3 footage?
I saw it back at E3. I saw that and some other bits.
Looks and great.
That is already threatening to be my game of the year.
Yeah.
It looks fucking fantastic.
I worry about it on a polished level, though, just because of how Red Faction came out.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It can be as buggy as fuck. I don't care. My copy of Saints Row 2 freezes on me. I think it's the disc. I don't give a fuck. I fucking love it. I'll replay levels if I have to.
No, I feel you there. Yeah, that's a game that can get away with being broken because it's so stupid. And I'm glad they're embracing that. Like, the first Saints Row tried to play it pretty seriously, if I remember correctly. And then
the first Saints Row was bad because it tried to be Grand Theft Auto.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Saints Row 2 tried to be the Grand Theft Auto that Grand Theft Auto isn't, and was all the more better for it.
Yeah. We got two more questions here. Hackerly Sonic9JCT asks, Is most of the game's time wasted doing driving missions, between missions, and having no checkpoints? Yes, it is, sir. That game is still... I can't believe that game came out without checkpoints. Like, good checkpoints. Still floors me. Yeah, I just had to, and it's so stupid, the mission fail parameters. I had one where I chased, and it's at the beginning of the game, I chased this dude for my nephew or whatever the fuck that guy is, my uncle, my brother, whatever. Chase this guy.
Cousin.
Yeah, cousin. And I stab him in the face and kill him, right? I come back to the car where he's sitting in there. He's like, "Oh, I broke a couple ribs, whatever." And I'm driving the car, and I accidentally, like, wreck into, like, 8 people in, like, a building, and the car explodes. But nobody's hurt, and I could have just jacked into the car. It's like, nope, failed. His car's gone. I'm like, really? Really, you're going to make me do a fucking, like, 20 minutes worth of work again because the car broke? Man, after a fucking car chase, after I use your stupid-ass, you know, physics and stuff like that to chase after a guy?
Yeah. That's one of the many things that made me favor Saints Row 2 over Grand Theft Auto 4 was right. Fucking checkpoints, which is nice.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's huge for sure, and hopefully, you know, Saints Row 3 does even better, and you know, hopefully, Grand Theft Auto 5 does. I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing for Grand Theft Auto 5 because one thing I noticed too, and it, you know, again, it might have been a while for you guys. I feel like the writing there, some of the writing is absolutely fantastic. Some of the best game writing I've seen in a long time.
So, it's conflicted though. It is brilliant writing, if you forget half of the shit that Nico does.
Right, yeah, yeah. That dissonance always rears its head.
Yeah. I mean, it is, in isolated chunks, there are beautiful scenes in Grand Theft Auto V. But if you take Nico Bellic as a whole, at best, you've got a compartmentalizing hypocrite.
Right, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Let's move on from 8-year-old games or whatever the fuck that stuff came out and go to a break! When we come back around, we got a lot of questions. We're going to go through both on our message board and on our Google Doc. You know, I think we should keep doing this, by the way. You guys think this is hip?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever.
Sure.
Oh, sure. You know, actually, if you do have the time, just a little PSA here. Forum member Joe W. is doing something really cool. He's made this best RPG of all time bracket, and it's a tournament bracket. You can check it out at electrichider.com front page, and also, you know, you can obviously look in the forums as well for that. Definitely go in there and vote. It's pretty hip. Dragon Age Origins should win.
Mm-hmm.
That's the threat right now. Dragon Age Origins does not win. I'm not your friend anymore. Just not. So anyway, after the break, got some questions and stuff for you, and yeah, I don't know. See you in 15 seconds. Hey, welcome back. Did you miss us? In case you forgot, you're listening to the Electric Hydra Internet Radio Show, Weight Loss Edition. That's what we were talking about during the break. Unfortunately, you guys do not get that conversation. Instead, you get your user questions. Got a lot of open source questions as well. I think we just need quick hits, all this. I mean, we got a fucking ton. Jim, this one's especially good for you. Peter Schaefer. Are you, like, related to the Tim Schafer?
Peter Schafer.
He's never heard that. I bet that's made his day to hear that.
I want to touch you if you're somehow related to him. Have any of you played Shadows of the Damned? And what do you think of it, Jim? You're probably the only guy.
Oh!
The weather outside is frightful?
Yes.
I thought that was the beginning of that song, bro.
No.
Your mom! I brought it back!
You know, I'm gonna work on your material.
It's a bit old, Brad.
Yeah,
I feel like I've heard that already. Tough crowd. You're the next Mr. Caffeine. Okay. Shadows of the Damned, I have played it. I reviewed it on Destructoid, and it's fucking brutal stuff. It's the funniest mind fuck you could ever play. As I described it in the review. It has got glitches. It has got lots of them. The game clearly was not given quality assurance. But it's one of those games that's just worth it. It's just worth the hassle. It has the weirdness of Killer 7, but it is infinitely more accessible. And it's just worth getting into. I really recommend it. If you really want something weird and funny in a very silly way, and you're a very forgiving gamer, get it.
Cool. Have any of you seen or listened to The Book of Mormon, as Greg saw?
The actual Book of Mormon?
No, the Trey Parker and Matt Stone joint, I believe, the play. It's on Netflix streaming right now, actually.
They won a shitload of, like, they won some Tony Awards for that, didn't they?
Okay, maybe this is an older one that I'm talking about then.
No, I think it's pretty recent.
They have another play on Netflix then.
Oh. Ugh. No, I'm pretty sure that they won a Tony, if not multiple Tonys, for The Book of Mormon. But that being said, I still don't know anything about it.
I haven't seen it. I've seen Orgasmo. That was fucking hilarious.
Oh, I did see Orgasmo as well.
That's on Netflix streaming as well. In fact, I recently watched Orgasmo.
Orgasmo is good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's good. I don't remember if I thought it was funny or not, or if it was just like...
Ponies are kick-ass.
It's not.
Or was it unicorn? Yeah, unicorns.
Yeah,
unicorns,
it's not so funny the second time, but it is. You know, like the fat girl with Trey
it's
Parker's
a
voice.
Horny night. Oh, baby.
with Trey Parker's voice dubbed over, gets me every fucking time. You gonna make me come? You know, I I love it. I love it. And Basketball is actually on Netflix streaming too.
Is that a Matt Stone, Trey Parker?
Yeah,
movie?
And it's the funniest.
It's very.
I don't think I knew that.
Have any of y'all seen Cannibal the Musical?
That's it. Is that their other play?
That's their other musical.
Yeah, that must be the one on Netflix.
That must be that. I fucking love.
Is it good?
I think it's fantastic.
Well, watch it
Definitely
tonight.
Definitely worth a watch.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'm gonna cue that up then for sherzies. Would it be possible for Topher to have a short segment one time or recurring on indie retro-ish things that have come out recently, such as shmuppin', role-playing, puzzling, rhythmin', platforming, or just cool 2D stuff in general, as hacker alias Lulshin. What do you think about that, Topher?
Hey, Topher, could you have a segment about games in every genre ever? Thanks. I would appreciate that.
I'm down for doing that if you're down for having me do that.
Fuck
sure.
Yeah. Let's work together on that. You got a quick hits one for this week?
Huh? Are you still talking to me?
I mean, yeah. Tune in for another one of those next week.
All right, so next week we're going to have a Topher segment, and the weeks after that we will as
Get
well.
Jamestown.
Jamestown?
Yeah.
I second that one.
I still haven't played it. I guess I should. Right?
I haven't played it either, but everybody keeps barking at me to play it, so I should.
It's a lot of fun.
Based on my Twitter followers.
I gave it a bit of a go the other day. It's very fun. Pretty damn tough unless you find four people that can play with. There are three people that can play with you. It's a good game.
Cool. Let's circle back next week then for sure, Zeus Topher. Let's work together in our show notes. Is anybody else terrified of rage throwing the Wii U controller? Asked hacker alias CLJNT. He's a Minecraft player. I know that name, sir. What's up, brother? I would worry about biting it. Who's that one guy who broke his fucking tooth on it? I'd worry about that guy, what he's going to do to it. No, I'm not worried about rage throwing one of those because they're probably going to cost like $800. Anybody?
I don't rage throw my controller, so I'm not...
Yeah, I haven't done that in a while either. Theoretically, I wouldn't, though, because the fiscal part of my brain is going to be like, hey, that's stupid, man. Don't do that.
Same thing with a PSP or a DS. You don't rage throw that.
No.
Yeah. No. Well, some people do.
Well, those people
stupid
are crazy.
People.
Yeah.
Let's see here. That one's for Aaron. That one's about me stopping the gym. And I will say this. No matter how many times they operate on my shoulder, I will not quit going to the gym. Nobody going to stop my ass. Ever.
And nobody going to hold you down?
Nope. And I'm fighting it hard, boys. Like, I'm aware that...
You got to keep on moving?
I'm aware that I probably need surgery, right? So I went ahead and put my arm in a sling today. And I practiced on the elliptical and the exercise bike with a sling on my arm. And let me tell you what. Showering is tough with a sling. I'm just going to say it. Putting a bag over your arm, not easy. Just throwing it out there. But I'm going to do it. I'm aggressive. I'm taking my ibuprofen. I'm icing my shoulder. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to beat this. I'm going to beat the fuck out of it. What video game moment?
Talking like a recovering cancer patient.
Hey.
I'm going to beat this together. Me and my family are united in this fight. Against something I did to myself like a fool because I can't stop going to the gym.
You'll pull your other shoulder beating it.
you know what's scary to me?
Like I pulled my shoulder beating your mom.
If I don't lift for 3 days...
When I beat your mother physically.
It scares me.
Took my belt out of my pants and beat her.
6 months. Fuck it. I'm going. What video game moment has had the most emotional impact on you as Max... What video game moment has had the most emotional impact on you? Have we answered this before?
I feel like I've been asked the question 100 times in my life.
Yeah. And I don't want to accidentally say that say something that I didn't last time. Skipping it. I'm sorry, Max. I tell you, it's hard to come up with that one.
Boogerman on the Genesis.
That part in Earthworm Jim just fucking killed me. You know that part where he hit that thing with his worm head? What video game made Brad want to punch a guy the most? Probably Risen. Which video game did you put the most playtime into, ask Eno? You know, I feel like we've had this question a couple times too, but I can easily say The Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind. Hundreds of hours into that game, easily.
I think for me it was Gran Turismo 3.
Okay, I feel that. Yeah, there was a lot to that.
Jim, what was the question?
What video game did you put the most playtime into?
Oh, okay. Final Fantasy X.
Yeah. Wow. Really?
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing? Playing Blitzball the entire time?
Well, part of it. Because to get
Just looking at your sphere grid?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, I maxed that thing out and I customized a bunch of weapons and I had to get Waka's,
yeah,
you know,
you
ultimate.
Do that. I did that with 7, too. I put a lot. That 7 is probably
my number
2, if not. Because I maxed out everybody's stats and found all the everything
and beat the fuck out of the weapons, right?
Yeah, kind of like your mom, and just beat everything there was to that game. There's nothing left.
Jim,
eating those guts up.
Jesus, Jim.
I've got nothing to add, considering it's a toss up between Final Fantasy X and Final Fantasy VII. I can't tell you which one of them two I put most. What? Some?
I just love that.
Problem officer?
Well, no, it's just between. Topher,
I'm sorry, I fell asleep.
Okay.
Can you start over again?
No, you missed it.
Here's a story. I fucking tried to get Luna's weapon in Final Fantasy X. You gotta dodge those fucking lightning strikes 200 times.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm not kidding. 198. And my sister came stepping up the stairs screaming and I got struck. It was literally the worst thing that's ever happened to me, ever.
It probably took me like a solid afternoon to do that, but
I've
you know,
tried
eventually,
to do it. I don't remember if I did it or not. I know I tried.
Well, eventually your brain just taps into the matrix.
I did do that, and then Titus's weapon, the thing where you have to like win the chocobo race with a certain amount of
time.
I totally did that, and the game didn't give me the weapon.
I totally did
it. I even like took a picture of the screen.
Oh, that's crazy.
And,
we got some in our we got some questions. I'm having a hard time talking tonight. As these shows get longer, I get worse. That's what we tap at about 40 minutes. I still feel fresh and good. Got some questions in our message board thread. Chainsaw Face said, hey, we only answered one quick hits last week, so we're going to answer just one this week as well. Optimus Prime or Voltron, guys?
Ultron.
I would say Voltron as well, but I only like the Black Lion thing. Jim?
Prime.
Joseph?
Prime.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Even split.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
We need a rollover next week. Winner takes all.
How come we don't answer Craigslist ads anymore? Asked Hacker Alias Ray. We need to totally start looking at Craigslist ads again. It's been a while since I have. I kind of quit for a while. I did tweet one about a week ago though. That was especially terrible. And closure on the old GameStop girl story from Podtoid guys. I moved. So there is no closure to be had. I still dream about her. Captain Joel asks, that's a hacker alias, if you were all professional wrestlers, what would your ring entrance be? Corn for Brad, he suggests.
Oh, obviously.
That's a good question. What would it be, guys?
What's the... Oh, fuck. What was that Iron Maiden song that was in Rock Band? And it was basically about, like, Vikings coming and, like, raping your village. And the chorus is Run to the Hills.
Yeah, that's the song, Run to the Hills.
Yeah, there you go. I think that would be it. That would be pretty perfect. Although I'm so, like, small and scrawny, I don't think I would make a very convincing, like, Viking raider. But I would still use that as my music.
As long as you got the WWF attitude, I don't think it matters, right?
Yes, sir.
Jim, you got a good one?
Big Time by Peter Gabriel.
Nice. I like it. Joseph?
I just answered it.
Oh, sorry, I meant Topher. My bad.
Unchained Melody.
I'm still having a hard time with what I would pick. What about...
Freak on a Leash.
yeah, Got the Life is what I... No. I don't know. I would take wrestling music. I'm taking this question seriously because I've pondered being a wrestler before. I would want something like The Rock where he just starts screaming at the beginning of it. You remember that? When he had like his second coming, basically. And it would scream, "Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?" And then it just like had two huge, you know, hard hat hits. You know, I would want something simple but iconic like that, I feel like. Anyways, Hacker Alias Metal Gear Nachos asks, who is your favorite boss or villain in a video game? Quick hits hat. Favorite boss or villain in a video game? Guys, I can't come up with one at the top of my head. There's a lot of bad villains.
My favorite villain is Solidus Snake from Guns of the Patriots.
Good choice, brother.
Because, yeah, I mean, he is a hero at heart when you think about it, but he goes about it in the cuntiest way possible, so he can be nothing but a villain. I've been planning to write a big article about Solidus Snake for a very long time, but yeah, that's my pick.
End every sentence with comma, brother, or else I'm not going to read it. Ever, brother. You know, Fettel does that too. That should have worked into our Fear 3 conversation. I fucking love how Fettel like stresses the word brother all the time.
Like in a cool, like serious way, or like does he just call you bro a lot?
He is Fettel and the Point Man are brothers. So he's just,
let's go over here, brother.
We've got to get out of here, brother.
We've got to talk about the jerk off helicopter pilot too. So like let's set the scene here. So we just get done doing some crazy shit in a factory, right? And we escape on a helicopter, and for some reason Point Man and Fettel don't kill the helicopter pilot. They've essentially hijacked this helicopter, but they don't kill him. They keep him alive for some reason, but unconscious.
To drive the helicopter?
No, he's unconscious.
The Point Man's driving the helicopter.
Yeah.
They don't need him.
So he wakes up in the middle of this flight, and so there's a ghost in front of him and Point Man on his left. And he says, like, the most smarmy-ass shit in the world.
The first thing he says, not like, why is there a ghost? Or who are you? The first thing he says is, you two are insane, man! You can't go back to Fairport!
And then he's like, we're gonna fucking kill you, or some shit like that.
Yeah.
He, like, and then they just
punch him unconscious again. It's...
You know, if we could give away video game awards, that guy would win the biggest balls in a video game ever.
I was impressed by the stones on that guy. To wake up and just diss a ghost.
Especially a ghost who could take you over. I mean, I don't know. It just struck me as crazy. We'll do one more question. We'll call this a podcast, guys. Trying to find a good one here. I'm going to go to the document. And I tell you what, any document questions that we didn't finish, go ahead and post them in the forum thread for next week. The same as the questions thread.
You didn't read my one out.
Oh, you added one? Where's yours?
It's at the very top.
It's at the very top.
After the break interlude.
After the break interlude. I am Jim Sterling, and I have a fun in my penis. Let's fuck ants. Let me try that again. I'm sorry.
That was my question.
I am Jim Sterling, and I have fun in my penis. Let's fuck ants. That's from Hacker Alias.
I just wanted to hear you say that.
That's from Hacker Alias Jim Sterling there. Little known fact, Hacker Alias. Real question here. We'll end it on a quick hits. Topher or Topher? I'm going to go with Topher. Jim?
Huh?
Topher or Topher? It's quick hits. Fuck you guys. All right. Zeus or Thor? Quick hits. Thor.
Who's going first?
Like, I don't know. You guys are sucking. Topher.
What, man? What?
Which one? Zeus or Thor? Your mom. All right, that'll be it for the Electric Hydra Internet Radio Show, episode 56. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. If you'd like to get in contact, please do. ElectricHydra.com. If you want to join us in the discussion, ElectricHydra.com/forums. Don't forget to stop by the Best RPG Ever Tournament thread. Check that out on the front page or in the Game Talk forum. A lot of dudes there, a lot of interaction, a lot of fun. I can't wait to actually see how this pans out. Dragon Age Origins has to win. If you want to talk to us through other social media outlets, or if you're a new listener and you always want to know what's kind of going on in our heads, twitter.com/electrichydra, facebook.com/electrichydra, and you know, we'll do another live show eventually too. There's a lot of fun kind of interaction stuff that I've been playing around with lately, and they're all pretty good, so expect a Google Doc to return again at some point as well, and I'll tweet that in advance. It was just kind of like a sudden idea. I was like, hey, what if I opened up a Google Doc to everyone at once? And that panned out pretty well. So yeah, visit our forums, check out our social feeds and stuff, and thanks for listening. We'll be back later this week with a Game of Thrones podcast, sans Game of Thrones, the TV show, which should be pretty fun. What do you think about that, Joseph?
Oh, I'm very excited about it, actually.
Yeah, Feast of Crows is good so far, man. I forgot how good that fucking book was. It starts out great.
Yep.
And, you know, Jim, what are you doing? Anything awesome this week? Like anything super special you want to pump?
There's a Jimquisition every Monday on The Escapist, escapistmagazine.com. You can check that out. The show has actually stopped being hated. It's like,
oh, great.
The white blood cells in the escapist community attack the foreign body, but it's kind of been integrated now into the bloodstream.
Oh, good.
So that was it. That was exciting. People have started, I think they've started to get it, that when I stand in front of a video as a fat man in shades like a rock star saying, thank God for me, that it might be put on a little bit. So that's good. We also got confirmed Destructoid Live 2 at PAX Prime this year.
Awesome.
August 28th, Sunday, noon. So that's something to look forward to. Otherwise, yeah, just doing my usual thing.
Cool. Topher?
I'm looking for a job.
Okay. I feel you there.
So, yeah, do you want to hire me? You are in the New York metropolitan area and need a dude to do some things.
Right on. And a cool dude to do.
Can be your dude. And I'm working on episode 7.
And what's your Tumblr blog, too? Because that's where you kind of show some advanced screens and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just rocknolandsoda.tumblr.
Cool, we'll check that out for sure.
That's usually where I'm doing the art for episode 7 now, and usually if I think something is cute and I want to show everybody, but I don't want people to have to wait until like November for the new episode to come out, I'll put screenshots and stuff up on that blog, so you can follow me on Tumblr and see things.
Very cool, very cool. And you also, you know, at rockmelonsoda, of course. And at your character names as well. So
yeah, Miss B Dog has a Twitter, and Miss B Dog has a Twitter.
Mr. B Dog gives me a lot of shit.
I have a Twitter. He makes fun of you, which he doesn't do so much anymore because you don't play along.
So. I'm not in the show.
Yes, you are.
I've forgotten
you were in episode 2.
I need to be in episode 7.
We'll see.
All right. Joseph, where can we peep you? What's your new address?
Wait, on what?
Your house. Where's that at?
Yeah, I'll post that up on our forums. You can go there for it.
Cool.
Wait,
so
no.
Psych.
Wrong.
Got you.
What? I mean, I'm where I've always been on Twitter and you know, different spots on the internet.
Very hot. Well, thank you guys again for listening to the show, this week's show, and catch us again next week on the Electric Hydra Internet Radio Show. Woo!